spray. Latifah's on vacation, I'm just plain old day to the day. I strap up, step out in every direction. Clock tech, Jimmy hats in case I need protection. So I land, cruise, pump sounds, play out wannabes. A kid in the M3's getting jacked right in front of me. So I play the tech close, my fingers on the trigger. Don't wanna get wet, so they steps, cause mine's is slightly bigger. But better yet, I'm a threat, so you better walk or get sketched out in chalk, cause I don't wanna talk. I stay true blue, I'm hoping it's you too. I got the fever for the flavor of a hoo-hoo. So it's back to the block, time to play. It's just another day around the way. Selling a clip to a DT, but it's home, so I flex, get pressures off my chest. Slipping a tape, now which hood should I hit next? Stomach gate, head to steak and take for a bean pie. Get a final call from the brother in the bow tie. I'm with little kids dreaming, fiend for fun, lots of laughter, moms, no pops playing with her son. I pass by a girl's wake, they say she died at 7. Hit by a stray, but I pray that there's a hood in heaven. Fake brothers claim there's no shame in their game. You know my name, show me your real name. A brain. So it's back to the block, time to play. It's just another day around the way. Hey,
just another day living in the hood. Just another day around the way. Feeling good today. Feeling lovely. Just another day living in the hood. Just another day around the way. Feeling good today. I'm in the hood, but I'm here to stay.
You know I gotta give props, I can't stop without you. No wrecking, no checks, and no rhyming, no cutting, no stages from pages, no phones, no beepers, no reason to put Queen in front of the name Latifah. I come with the real life perspective and rule, cause me and my people scrum around the way remain cool. So it's back to the block, time to play. It's just another day.
Good morning. You're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. It's a beautiful Thursday, September 21st. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Coast Salish territory here from UBC's campus. School just started, so, you know, while I am normally here by myself, there are people walking around outside, perhaps studying, running. Saw some people biking to school this morning. It's nice to see the campus back alive. You know, here, we like to start off with the weather. The weather here in Vancouver has been particularly chilly for the past few days. But that's not how the representation of the weather is all over the world. It's been going crazy. Here we're like back to fall weather. We talked about this last week. Today should be mostly sunny, and we're even going to get up to a high of 17. The weekend actually has very, very little precipitation scheduled, which would be nice because we have a few big games on Sunday. If you coach Little League football. However, the rain should return in next week around Monday, and for the next 10 days, it's going to get a little warm, so it shouldn't be so chilly. So as you head out into the wild, make sure you prepare yourself because it does get down to about 8 degrees at nighttime. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, I don't know, I feel like people have been aware of hurricane season. I'd say we're pretty much aware of hurricane season whenever a huge hurricane comes and hits, I guess, the mainland, the United States, when, and that happened with Hurricane Harvey. But since Hurricane Harvey, we've had Jose and Irma, and right now there's Maria, and these hurricanes don't seem to be stopping. Not only did we have a hurricane, hitting the Caribbean and Central America, but we've also had, there was also a huge earthquake in Mexico, which, like, over 100 people died in the earthquake. So, yeah, it's like a lot of these big storms and earthquakes. And I feel like there was an earthquake in California as well, or maybe it was the same, or maybe they could feel the earthquake from Mexico all the way in California. But there's a prediction that the world's going to end in 2 days, on the 23rd. And I'm not saying that these natural disasters are a premonition. However, while there was flooding in Houston a few weeks ago, there was also flooding in Mumbai, and flooding in, was it Niger in Africa? So it's been a pretty bad past few weeks for the weather. So if you have the ability to donate, you can do that. I'll post like a few of the reputable sites, because I feel like on Twitter you can find like who's actually doing work, and you can actually find some reputable places so that you can make sure your money is getting to where it needs to be. Because if you haven't been watching the news, there was a another study a few years ago when the earthquake hit Haiti. I think it was over like $15 billion had got donated from around the world for Haitian relief. And whether you watch Vice or maybe you just read the news a little bit, you know that there was a story where they only built 6 houses. Now, I watched a Vice special on it, like a so I'm pretty much an expert on, you know, the Red Cross's inability to build homes in Haiti. But there was more money spent on the showcase of what the homes might look like than actual building of the homes. And so there's neighborhoods in Haiti, like all around, that have basically like these fake homes that were built to show what types of homes that they would rebuild after the earthquake. And so people have just moved into them and have been living in these like unusual dwellings. It's like pretty interesting, just what people will do, what people can do, with like the little bit that they have. So if you can donate, you can follow me on Facebook, and I'll post some information. So we know we like to start off with Vancouver news. Here in Vancouver, just like everywhere else, we like to talk about housing and how that is affected by, all these external factors. Well, just like lots of other North American cities like Atlanta and Toronto and, I think Chicago and I think North Carolina, everyone's really bidding for Amazon to build their second headquarters in their city, because Amazon not only brings hella jobs, but it brings just commerce and like just transactions. It makes you can build warehouses, and it makes your city prosperous. I saw somebody talking about it as if it was the new the Olympic bid, like trying to get Amazon to come to your city. Well, here in Vancouver, they have some proponents who actually don't want Amazon to come, because if I don't know if you know, the Amazon is headquartered in Seattle, and which is, really just like a stone's throw away from Vancouver. And so what people have seen in Seattle is, as a result of Amazon, is like higher housing prices and just more of the same things that are already going on here, like already going on here in Vancouver. And I mean, anything here that would do more harm to our housing situation would be so devastating to the people who live here. One, because people are already strained, you know, in the housing, and we've already have such huge housing issues. But this article in the Vancouver Sun on CBC doesn't really talk about, you know, some of the maybe potential benefits. And maybe one of the benefits is that Amazon could put such pressure on, you know, the established, you know, housing here in Vancouver that it would be doing a service. And so some of those, you know, 50,000 unoccupied units could be occupied by 50,000 Amazon employees. So not only would be driving like more talent here to Vancouver, but maybe potentially more people, and maybe, you know, the smart people at Amazon could figure out a way to make it work for everybody. If you are a, you know, resident of BC and you maybe have, been wanting to get an opportunity to, you know, to like own a business here in Vancouver, there was a study done by the Business Development Bank here in Canada and talks about how 41% of business owners plan to sell their business within the next 5 years. The survey has this due to to the baby boomers and the shifting in age demographics as people move to retirement. So, you know, what that means is that there are going to be people who are going to be looking to relieve themselves of the responsibilities that come with their business. And so if you've ever wanted to look into owning a business or maybe running a local business here in BC, this might be your opportunity. So you should take up on it. Too much else going on here in Vancouver. The Vancouver International Film Festival is starting on September 28th, and it goes until October 13th. Listen, the Vancouver International Film Festival is probably one of my favorite times of the year. One, because they show movies literally from like 6:30 in the morning until around midnight, and it's all like you don't have to. There's not a specific one that you need to see. But last year I was able to see Moonlight before it won all of the awards at the Oscars. I saw Moonlight around like in October, and it didn't come out until theaters until a few months later. So listen, I'm like the type of person that I honestly love to be in like hip to new stuff, and I love to be able to tell people that I saw that a few months ago and you're late, because who doesn't like telling people that they're late? I feel like it's underappreciated to be first. And although I wasn't first, because it was on the circuit for film festivals and it did great, which is one of the reasons why I saw it. But you have these opportunities here in the Vancouver International Film Festival. They have also some cool events. If you can volunteer, you should do that. And one filmmaker has gotten in trouble from Vancouver Island. He has a movie. It's a documentary about stand-ups and about what goes into producing a stand-up show. And he instituted a pricing called justice pricing. Now, when you hear about justice pricing, you're like, okay, maybe it makes it a little cheaper for, you know, some people who can't afford it, or maybe some people who, you know, maybe wouldn't likely, you know, going to the movies is not like in their budget. No. But he decided to make the tickets more expensive for white guys. He rightly understood that there would be lots of backlash for this. And so what he did was he used a fake name to promote this justice pricing. And, you know, when I saw the story, I thought, I was like, oh shit, oh, like, you know, he's gonna make it more expensive for white dudes. Like, either there's stuff in the movie he doesn't want white guys to see, or he was doing it because like of this just like the general idea that he doesn't he'd rather not have white guys in his movies. But you know, further, I read into the justification of why he did it, and he's like, listen, there's lots of people, particularly women, who pay a lot more for their goods all the time. Like, I learned this in school, where you look at, like, deodorant, like men's deodorant or men's shaving cream or men's razors or anything like that. They're all cheaper for men than they are for women. And so his justice pricing was taking in accord all that. So, like, the wage gap, you know, the access to credit, the all of these things. And I ain't mad at him. So, if you would like to go see his movie, it's not it's showing in Vancouver Island at the Blue Bridge Theater Society. And if it comes over to the mainland, I will let you know. When we get back, we will be talking about some of, like, I don't like talking about Trump, but there's some things this week that we just cannot ignore. So when we get back, we'll be talking about those. As for now, take a listen to some of our sponsors.
Policing or just want to speak your truth?
Join CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
This group of radio makers is all about centering the voices, issues, concerns, and experiences of women identified, transgender, intersex, two-spirit, genderqueer, gender non-conforming, non-binary, and gender fluid folks and allies.
Anyone can join, no experience necessary.
Like the Gender Empowerment Collective on Facebook or email volunteer at CITR.ca.
Our show, Babe Waves, airs Thursdays from 5 to 6 and features music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Wish I could tell you I was insane. Wish after all that hypnotic in me, I could turn into what you think I've been. Don't give a fuck about why you stand by your conviction. If I'm as fucked up as you say, I'll take my shit and make moves on my way. Puff until I pass out, and I ain't turning back now, and I'ma just keep doing me, kissing the blunts and I choke on the trees. Tell me it's a phase, come close so I can blow it in your face. I'm way too imperfect for you, way too damn reckless, don't watch what I do. Head back, sit back, out black. One pack, two grams, lungs black. Tell me it's a phase, come close so I can blow it in your face. I'm way too imperfect. Riding when the lifestyle's high, go figure. When I'm down, where you at? When you're down, they disappear, it's facts. I ain't got a time for the he say, she say shit. Tell the bitch to come through by on me, she can get it. Baby, I'm not as fucked up as you heard. Test me, I'm worse. Puff until I pass out. Turning back now, and I'ma just keep doing me, kissing the blunts and a choke on the trees.
shit I believe. Floating and choking and blowing the trees. Keep to myself, only answer to me. Sipping hypnotic on Fridays, we lean. Baby, it's me. Ayo, the fiend. I say what I mean. And do as I feel. Try not to breathe. It's hard as it seems. You won't like what you see. Puffing till I pass out. And I ain't turning back now.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. I'm Issa Arian. So, what I said was, before is, I don't like, I feel like in the past year, so, if you're waiting for the podcast, has not made it up from last week, which was, my 1 year show. We're having some technical difficulties here at the station, regarding getting the podcast up, but, if you would like to look at some old podcasts, or just wait until they are posted on mixcloud.com/offthebeatenpath, or you can find me. I changed the Facebook link, so instead of it being facebook.com/offthebeatenpath, it's facebook.com/OTBP20XX. So like Off the Beaten Path, the letters, then 20XX. Because we will go on into eternity. So, for the past year, since we started the show, Donald Trump and the United States presidency has been a big part of with the content. Because not only does he make his own content, but it's just so ridiculous from week to week. So if you have not been paying attention to what has been going on in the world politically, this week was the summit at the UN. And so lots of craziness happened this week. Basically, it was a time, you know what the United Nations is. It's a time for the countries to get together. They talk about they talk about like economic issues. They talk about safety issues. They talk about, just basically how we as a world can come together and help each other, or, you know, whether that will help each other, and you decide what help each other really means. So Trump had a few of those head scratching moments this week, one of which was talking about North Korea. So if you haven't known, he just talked about North Korea as he referenced Kim Jong-un as, being on a suicide mission. He referenced Kim Jong-un as being, a barking dog. All of these things that he can say because Kim Jong-un is not in the UN. And so he's not invited to these parties. Like, I feel like Donald Trump is one of those people who, says all of these things because he knows that no one can touch him. Like, he's probably been that guy, growing up, who always threatens to sue. There's always one of those kids. Like, well, maybe there isn't always one of those kids. Maybe I came from a place where those kids exist, where they start talking, and as soon as you slap them, or you square up, like, I'm gonna sue. I'm gonna get my dad. I'm gonna sue. And I feel like Donald Trump, not only has he been that kid, but he's also been that dad, and he's that granddad. He's like, listen, I'm gonna sue you if you touch me. Don't touch me. I'll sue you. And so, you can't do that when the people who you're chastising have nuclear warheads. Not only have they have nuclear warheads, they've been sending missiles over Japan. Japan doesn't have a military. So if whose military Japan would have to use? United States. So while we're talking about whether we should do with North Korea, and while we have a leader who seems to be hell-bent on just pissing people off, we also have the responsibility to protect Japan because we have naval bases. So, what are we going to do? We're going to listen to Trump talk about his relationship with Africa. And here it goes as he talks to some of the African leaders in at the UN. Oh. I don't know why it sounds like that.
Africa has tremendous business potential. I have so many friends going to your countries trying to get rich.
All right, I'm going to play that again because play it from the beginning because it's just ridiculous. Play the thing in entirety. So Trump can't get on here and say Issa on Off the Beaten Path is fake news because you hear it from his mouth.
This room, I see partners for promoting prosperity and peace on a range of economic, humanitarian, and security issues. We hope to extend our economic partnerships with countries who are committed to self-reliance and to fostering opportunities for job creation in both Africa and the United States. Africa has tremendous business potential. I have so many friends going to your countries trying to get rich.
I have so many friends. And, like, sometimes it is just entirely frustrating because when you read that or when you hear that, how can someone, a sane person who understands like the history and the detriments of colonialism and understands how people now in 2017 are really not here for that. Like, I saw a video of a woman in Nepal, a Nepalese woman, throwing rocks at this British tourist and her son because the woman stayed in her house overnight. The woman made the Nepalese woman let them stay in her house, boarded them, made them tea, you know, fed them. And then the woman tried to negotiate down to $1.50, 150 rupees. Now, the arrogance of people to just be able to say, yeah, Africa's got lots of business potential. No shit. I feel like people have known that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Not only have they known it for hundreds and hundreds of years, they actually stole people from Africa as business. Like, they saw the potential. They're like, oh, smokes. There's lots of potential here for us, for slaves. Lots of potential for gold. Lots of potential for oil. Lots of potential for rubber. Lots of potential for all for tourism. All of that. Voluntourism. Listen, like, you have to be so entirely tone deaf. Like, and an idea that, like, listen, I know that there are people who watched that, heard that from Donald Trump, and they had absolutely no problem. That is the, like, and that is the most, that is the scariest part to me, is that I know people who watched that with no, they didn't hear anything wrong with that. Listen, I have friends. Like, I use the term friends very loose because, like, I felt like I have distanced myself from these people whose profile pictures on Facebook right now are them holding some little African kid, potentially an orphan. And listen, if you like to help people, there are so many ways to help people. You do not have to fly thousands and thousands of miles. Like, I don't even want to get in on this idea of volunteerism because it's one of the topics that I feel so passionately about that I will stop being friends with people who do it. It bothers me. But anyways, but back to Donald Trump. So listen, I know that he's not the only person who thinks like that. He's not the only person who has issues with that type of stuff or with that language, even that rhetoric saying, listen, I know my friends are there right now trying to get rich, trying to find a way to scheme the people there. I have friends there who see great potential in the continent and in your countries and are trying to increase, and try to make the world better, and try to make the situation better for the people living in those countries and get rich as well. No, it's like I have friends who are there trying to exploit, trying to get rich. And I don't feel like and this is a function of like Donald Trump being like the ultimate capitalist. This is why people are drawn to him, because he's the ultimate capitalist. Like people, like white guys who have to pay more money for the other one, see Donald Trump and say, like, that's who I want to be. They might not want to be exactly like him, and do everything just like Donald Trump, but they see Donald Trump as like the type of person that they would want to be. They see, like, they have this aspirational goal to see Donald Trump, to like have some Russian, Ukrainian, I'm not sure where Melania's from, to have some woman like that, to be able to have their names on buildings. And listen, like, that is a aspiration for lots of people, not just white guys, but they see him and they see nothing wrong with the type of things that he says, even to the point where Donald Trump is talking about like some of the issues that have gone on. He's talking about to these African leaders about like some of the things that they have been dealing with for the past year, like Ebola. And he's like, yeah, Nigeria had dealt with Ebola, and Ghana, and Namibia. And like, Namibia is not a real country. It doesn't exist. It's so infuriating. Listen, I'm not from Namibia or Gambia, so I don't know what the hell he was talking about. And not only do I not know what the hell he's talking about, I don't know anybody from those countries. If I do, I don't know that they're from those countries. Like, I really know very little about Namibia and Gambia. However, I know that Namibia doesn't exist. And I feel like if you're the president of the United States, like, you should at the very least, know which countries exist and which countries don't exist. Like, I was, like, a few weeks ago, I was watching Sacha Baron Cohen's The Dictator again, because I think that Sacha Baron Cohen and The Dictator and Borat are, like, if you go back and watch those movies, they, I feel, just get funnier and funnier. I think Bruno sucked. Bruno might be one of the worst movies of all time. But Borat, The Dictator, so funny. A fictional country creates fiction, like straight fiction, and tricks people, real people, into like believing that these places exist. And I feel like when I watch Donald Trump, it almost makes me feel like the United States that I knew doesn't exist. And like, and I know in my heart that the United States that I grew up knowing never existed in the first place. But now, the flawed United States that I thought I knew, it doesn't exist. When we get back, we are going to be talking about some of the mistakes that some college presidents have made, particularly one in particular. And it is pretty bad, so stay with us.
But it ain't escapism, because you can't miss it. We aim to keep gratefulness, sweet flavor, so take a sip. You may have just made a trip with David Israelovich.
Don't know you super well, but I think that you might be the same as me. Behave abnormally. Let's let things come out of the woodwork. I give you my best, I tell you all my best lies. Yeah, awesome, right? So let's
Just let things come out of the woodwork. I give you my best lie, tell you all my best lies. See me rolling, showing someone else love, dancing with our shoes off. No, I think you're awesome, right?
Unbuckled for the ride. Pull way too far from home. Let's be honest with ourselves. We're way too high to drive. So let's take on the night. Live a lot as in the air. Open. Finally. We're growing and we'll fade. Our dreams.
I sent your friend to the store. It's only me and you. Finally used to and I don't regret drinking this liquor, making you listen. I know you don't know me well. My girl's at the door and I left my pretense at home. And it ain't no going back. Our rules, our dreams.
Think you're awesome, right?
Our walls, our dreams, we're blind. Blowing shit up with homemade. Dynamite, our friends, our dreams.
My phone now. How you been? Oh, you on your now. I just smiled back, cause my TV now. They seen the glow, I'm making goals now. Yeah, they in my phone now. How you been? Oh, you on your now. I just smiled back, cause my TV cold now. They just seen the glow, I'm making goals now. They seen the glow, I'm the ghost now.
They seen the glow, I'm the ghost, yeah. They seen the glow. Pull up with your bitty, pull up with your bitty after the show. Yeah. The light hit the diamonds, the ice moving slow. You sipping diamond tab and I just pulled me a four. I just move out with them kush packs. When I hit it, she gon' look back. Got it stirring it like cook crack. On the counter with a good slap. Eddie Babel with the hood black. Now they callin', now they ask about me, you can dead that.
You can dead that, you can dead that.
They hit my phone now. How you been? Oh, you on your now. I just smiled back, cause my TV gold now. They seen the glow, I'm making goals now. Yeah, they hit my phone now. How you been? Oh, you on your now. I just smile back, cause my teeth go now. They just seen the glow, I'm the ghost now. They just seen the glow, I'm the ghost now.
She calling me data. I got unlimited data. I got unlimited ammo. I'm tryna pull up in Lambos. Pull up with clips like I'm Rambo. She only calling my ghost line. I get it straight out the bowl. I get it straight from the coastline. My ex calling to check on me. I told her don't call me or text me unless you got neck for me. And a bottle of Henny. I mean it so disrespectfully. Don't hit me up unless you got a check for me. Don't check for me.
Check. Little bitch.
They hit my phone now. How you been? Oh, you unknown now. I just smile back and smile to you cold now. They seen the glow, I'm making goals now. Yeah, they in my phone now. How you been? Oh, you unknown now. I just smile back and smile to you cold now. They just seen the glow, I'm making goals now. They just seen the glow, I'm making goals now.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. So, like I said, at Lipscomb University, which is in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, the president invited some students to his home for dinner to discuss their experiences at the school. So I don't know if you guys are aware, but not everybody experiences school in the same manner. Not everybody feels comfortable at the school, and there are very specific instances create this environment. And so the president wanted to address some of these issues and wanted to talk with the students about maybe some of, like, you know, the major aggressions that they've encountered and some of the microaggressions that they have, you know, really internalized. And hopefully he learned one or two things from his dinner. So, I'm just going to play some audio from the people who really experienced this, and then we're going to talk about it. So, you know, in 1 second.
Center stage at Lipscomb University today. It's not because of a class, not because of a lecture, but rather a dinner that went from cordial to controversial. Larry Flowers is live in studio with more. Larry.
Well, Eric, those centerpieces on the tables were supposed to represent the fall season, but stalks of cotton didn't sit well with a group of black students who were invited to attend.
Deion Sims was at the dinner last Thursday at the home of President Dr. Randy Lowry. He and others took offense to what was on the center of the tables.
I think really the most offensive thing was the cotton centerpieces.
And what was on the menu as well.
We had heard previously for the Latino students they had fajitas, and then when we got there, the meals were, you know, collard greens, cornbread, and ribs and such.
Sims, a senior pre-med major, says the president has done some great things for the university, but more needs to be done.
I don't think Dr. Lowry was intentional or malicious in the cotton centerpieces. I simply think that it points to a larger cultural gap at this institution.
Dr. Lowry took full responsibility for the centerpieces, even though he didn't choose them personally.
I understand, at least at a small level, the offense and the hurt.
Yo, could you imagine going to anybody's house, being invited? Like, I don't know. I could not imagine getting invited to anyone's house, let alone the president of my university, and showing up. And there is cotton stalks as centerpieces. And they're probably serving the driest cornbread you've ever had in your life. I don't know which one would be more offensive. The absolute disservice and disrespect that they might take to cornbread, or the idea that they thought that me and my people as black kids could have draw some some type of nostalgia to seeing cotton on the table. Like, I saw the video, and I saw, like, you can see, you know, what exactly was going on, but I saw a video of one of the kids still eating the food. Now, I told you, and if I saw that, I would have flipped. Now, I can't always say that that's how I always felt, because, listen, I had a football coach. His name is Jimmy Burrows. I can say his name because what the hell can he do to me? Like, he coaches at Ohio University. Go Bobcats. Beat Kansas this week. So, he's not all bad. He knows a lot about football. Taught me a lot about football. However, this dude, blatantly used to disrespect black kids on the team. Like, he was the safeties coach. And so, he would have us at his house one time a year. And we have his house one time a year, maybe twice a year. The running backs coach, he lived a few houses down. The tight ends coach, it was like the coaches all lived like in the same neighborhood, a little bit right outside of Athens, Ohio, where we would just go in the summertime and we would like celebrate the end of camp and we would just like be together with our teammates and play some ping pong and some pool or whatever, play in his basement. And we would, we would eat food. So we're in the house, and he's from Mississippi, so he's got this accent. He's like, "Hey, guys, I got some more fried chicken for you." And we all look around at each other. We look at the white cornerback on our team. He didn't seem very offended by the chicken comment. We all looked. We're like, you know, Coach Burrows from Mississippi, chicken's not bad. We're going to let that one slide. Also, like, when you're playing college football, like, you're always in, like, a subservient position where, like, you desperately want to play. And so you just put up with, like, different levels of disrespect based on how bad it is you want to play versus how good you are. So, like, me, I wasn't very good. Well, I was good at football, not good for Division I. So I had to put up with high levels of disrespect so that I could get on the field. And so that was just something that I had resigned to at that time in my life. Right now, I would not do that. However, 20-year-old, 19-year-old, 18-year-old Issa, totally fine with that because that's how much I love the game. Anyways, just a few moments later, Coach Burrow, "Hey, guys, I cut up some watermelon for you." And so you might not actually think that chicken, watermelon, you might not think that this might be racial. You know, you might just think that, you know, chicken, very delicious, watermelon, delicious fruit, particularly in the summertime. But we had a running back, one of my dear friends. And so he says, "Hey, Coach Burrow, aren't you going to have some watermelon too?" And he looked at all of us and said, "I don't eat watermelon. I'm a white guy." And then walked off. And he said just like that, "I don't eat watermelon. I'm a white guy." And he just walked away. And we all looked at each other, and we couldn't tell whether he was joking or whether he was not joking. But immediately, I was like, this MF isn't joking. He's being 100% serious. And I only say that because he didn't eat watermelon. And the watermelon is delicious. So if you say, "I don't eat watermelon, I'm a white guy," and then you proceed not to eat watermelon, I know that you are being 100% serious. Not only are you a fool for denying yourself watermelon, but you are obviously a racist. And there's no doubt in my mind, James Brown was racist. Good football coach, racist. They don't have to be mutually exclusive, because there's a lot of football coaches that are great, and there are a lot of them that are racist. But anyways, back to this Lipscomb. So there was a woman, a woman who was not as cordial and not as apologetic as that gentleman that we heard on the broadcast. And so what he said, "So I attended Lipscomb University, I'm going to read you her Instagram post." And so she says, "So I attended Lipscomb University, and as most of you know, that this is a predominantly white school. Tonight, African-American students were invited to have dinner with the president of the school. As we arrived to the president's home and proceeded to go in, we see cotton as centerpieces. We also stood and ate dinner. There were no seats to sit in, and it felt very uncomfortable. We were offended, and also the meals that were provided resembled many quote-unquote black meals. They had mac and cheese, collard greens, and cornbread. The night before, Latinos had also had dinner at the president's house, and they had tacos. They didn't have the centerpieces that we had. A couple minutes went by, and the president was coming around asking for our names and what our major was. He finally got to our table, and my friend asked why there were cotton on the table as centerpiece. His response that he didn't know. He had seen it just before we did, and he kind of thought it was fallish. Then he said, "It isn't inherently bad if we're all wearing it," then walked off. Later on, all of us that were invited into the home, we had an impression that we were coming to speak about how black people felt about Lipscomb. The entire time we were in the home, they only talked about themselves, how they met and got married and ended up at Lipscomb. And the only question that we were asked about our transformation coming to Lipscomb, a couple of women answered the question, but they sugarcoated it. And they said, any other questions that they may have can be emailed to the Advocate for Latinos, and that a second meeting may be held. Also, we don't have an advocate on campus. The only African-American advocate we had no longer works there. The only advocate available to us was the Advocate for the Latinos. They claim to have funding for minorities, but you have to live up to expectations of a typical black family to even get $1,000. There's no funding for black students. So they went there to talk about issues that were, specific to the black community at Lipscomb, and they were met with cotton stalks. So when you are wondering why people are so upset at these PWIs, then you should just look at the types of people who are put in power at these institutions, and what do they care about? When we get back, we are going to go over just a little bit more, not on that, but on some other things, particularly Stand for the Pledge and why I think that the Adidas leadership also has issues.
I got you down my tooth, I got you down my tooth. Gotta stay right on my tooth, gotta stay right on my tooth. And watch your back ride. Keep you by my side. I got you down my tooth, I got you down my tooth. Gotta stay right on my tooth, gotta stay right on my tooth. And watch your back ride. Keep you by my side. Girl, I'm not holy. I see what I want and I'm focused. I try to stay holy. But it's so hard when you're wearing a sundress. Girl, come ride this pony. I'm genuine, I mean I'm genuine. What a gentleman did I have been. I let you situate, didn't settle in. Girl, I got the sauce. I'm chefing, I'm whipping, I cook up the classical. Girl, I'm sick, so close all the windows and keep on the antidote. I only side with the real. Hey, I'm not dissing, but I need to keep my distance. Cause I caught a feel. I don't mean feelings, switch up on me that I'm feeling. I'm very selective, maybe overprotective. Only you get my perspective. And I keep it close, so my enemies are never effective. I got you down my tooth. Gotta stay right on my tooth. Watch for bad minds. Keep you by my side. On my side, baby, they better respect us. Off the radar, girl, I know they can't detect us. We've been running for so long, they cannot catch us. Only thing that's hanging around is my necklace. On my two, you're on my right, you're on my clock, yeah. Don't draw attention, keep it cool, don't make it high, yeah. Zip our lips, yeah, I'm cautious who I'm with, yeah. Like the Knicks, yeah, we tryna win some chips, yeah. And keep you by my side. Kinda like Will does Jada. I've always needed a Jada. With a little bit of paper, with a little bit of flavor. And not afraid to be dangerous. I skirt on that pavement and run them down for that payment. Before they go put it in savings. I'm not here for no runarounds. My energy, I gotta save it. That's why I keep you close. So they won't get one up on me.
I got you down my tooth. I got you down my tooth. Gotta stay right on my tooth.
Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And last week, we talked about last week about how a police officer in Cleveland who was using sex toys on women at traffic stops, you know, was charged. And this is a police department in a city that had a 5,000 people rally at a 5,000 people rally a week after the police shot a 12-year-old boy. Now, where we've seen these protests, particularly not just protesting the police, but protesting like police brutality, protesting, everything that we claim to be American that is not. There was a boy who was assaulted by his teacher for not standing up during the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, on my Twitter, if you follow me, you see me talk about it because I'm from D.C. I went to elementary school in D.C., middle school in D.C., and I went to a private school. And then I went to a public school in Montgomery County, Maryland. And it wasn't until my public school where they even played the Pledge of Allegiance in the school. Like nobody, well, people would probably call the private school I went to like some type of liberal brainwash camp. But the only focus on the school was diversity and the arts and being nice to people and being understanding and being open-minded and learning a lot about other people's cultures. So like the Pledge of Allegiance didn't fit into that. And so when I went to public school and like you had the decision whether you want to stand up or sit down, most people stood up. Like, I don't think I said the Pledge of Allegiance once because I thought it was weird that you had to pledge allegiance to a flag. However, I, like, know all the words. Like, it's ingrained in my brain. And I could not imagine being a teacher, like, having the audacity. Like, I wish a teacher would have assaulted me. My mom would have gone up to the school and assaulted them right back. Listen, I remember I was not a troublemaker, but I like to talk a lot in class. And so I had a teacher push me up against the locker. And the only reason I feel like that teacher didn't get fired is because he was one of the only black male teachers in the school. And he was a very good teacher. Put his hands on the wrong kid because maybe the right kid, maybe the wrong kid, because my mom was about to fire his ass up. Moving on quickly. So this week there was an article that came out and it was if you like know what has been going on in the United States in the past few years, what you know is that the police and the communities have very strained relationships. And so in Missouri again, there was another protest where instead of the police, like we've seen neo-Nazis be able to protest silently and not say anything, you know, nobody bothered them. They can shoot at people in the crowds. Nothing happened. They can march with tiki torches and fire and they can do anything they want. But what we saw this week was cops literally walking through the streets saying, "Whose streets are these? Our streets." Police marching through. Now, that's just something that gangs do. Like, protecting the corners. Strapping up. Getting ready for a war. Like, that is something that gangs do. And so when we talk about police officers being pigs and being part of this gang and being not just being bad apples, this is what we're talking about. And nobody addresses those types of issues. When I say nobody, I mean not the same people who are so upset that people aren't standing for the national anthem or standing for the Pledge of Allegiance and, you know, feel that they're not being protected underneath those words. They don't have any rhetoric for that type of language and those type of policing because that's exactly what they want. So to that kid or anybody else who doesn't want to stand for the anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance because you don't feel like those words protect you or speak for you, don't feel obligated to do that. And continue to listen to the show. We're here from 7 to 8 every day. I mean, every Thursday. If you can catch me on Crimes and Treasons as well, that's where I'm joined by Horsepower, Homeboy Jules, Relly Rels, Jamal Steels. We do uncensored hip-hop for 2 hours. But then you can come here on Off the Beaten Path on Thursday, so you get your hip-hop in. You come here, you get a little bit of music in, but you also get to know about some of the things that are going on in the world. So you guys have a great week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next Thursday.